It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning. I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. The four Republicans running for governor held their first debate this week. It was the first time they've appeared together. One of the things they argued about is who among them is the biggest Trump supporter. One of the things they all agreed on is that Michigan should not legalize recreational marijuana, but they said they'd respect whatever voters decide. Jack, what else stood out to you?
Well, I thought they were working very hard at making some free commercials for the Democratic Party. We'll certainly pick up whoever the Democratic nominee is, pick up some of this stuff. Hallie spent his time bashing Schuette and calling him names and vice versa. That'll make for a good little commercial. And Pat Kolbeck and especially Jim Hines needed to do something to get noticed, to break out of the pack and break out of single digits. And it doesn't seem that they accomplished that.
The Michigan Elections Bureau has rejected challenges to the candidacy of Democrat Abdul El-Sayed. The Bureau says El-Sayed has been continuously registered to vote in Michigan since 2003. It also called for the Court of Appeals to drop El-Sayed's own request for a review of his candidacy. Jack, sounds like El-Sayed is just about out of the woods.
It will look that way, Rebecca. Of course, you could always go to the Michigan Court of Appeals and or the Supreme Court, although Sri Tanadar, who's really the only person who was pushing this, has indicated so far, or there's no indication that he's going to do that. And I think this is as it should be. If he'd voted in both states in the same election, you'd have a big problem. But I think that most people want him on the ballot, and I think this will probably end there.
Term limits in Michigan aren't working out as planned, according to a new study. The study by an independent research group relies in part on interviews with 460 legislators since term limits went into effect. Eric Lufer with the Citizens Research Council says the study has its limitations, but it does show some trends, such as that more state legislators are typically focused on their next job. Jack, we've had term limits in Michigan since 1992. What are your observations?
I've been on my soapbox screaming for 18 years that this is the biggest disaster to ever hit Michigan, and this is sort of confirmation of it. Not only does Michigan have term limits like 15 other states, but ours are the worst in the nation because you can never come back after serving a relatively short time. There's no institutional memory. The lobbyists won't run everything. It hasn't succeeded at getting any more diversity, and the politicians just play musical chairs. So the trouble is that polls show people like it, probably because they're not insufficiently educated about it, and so far, no one's really been willing to take on the task of fighting to repeal it, so we need some leadership around here.
Michigan high schools would have to teach financial literacy if a bipartisan pair of bills become law. Under legislation introduced in the state house, the class would be for 11th and 12th graders. It would teach them skills like budgeting and investing. Students could substitute their Algebra 2 requirements by taking the course. Jack, what do you think about this bill and about the state potentially requiring yet another course?
Well, my first reaction was to wonder if I could enroll. I think that I'm all against weakening math standards, but I think this would make a lot of sense. If it is taught right, if it's not a Mickey Mouse class, as we used to say, I think these are essential skills. Not very many of us are going to use Algebra 2 in what we do. Even some engineers don't use those kinds of skills. So I think it probably should be a required class, and with Algebra 2 as a possible elective, depending on what your career path is. But I think that we cannot err too much on the side of financial literacy.
And lastly, State Superintendent Brian Whiston died this week at the age of 56. He had been receiving medical treatment since a cancer diagnosis last fall and went on long-term disability leave last week. Jack, what can you say about Whiston's legacy and the future of education in this state?
Well, the tragedy is he really wasn't there long enough to make a major footprint. I think he was there about 2.5 years. But he was a genuinely nice man who really cared about education and who managed. He had some political skills. You may remember Governor Snyder took the school reform office away from the Board of Education, and Whiston got him to give it back. And he was very concerned with the quality of schools all over the state. So I think he'll be remembered as a man who had skills and good intentions, but tragically, he wasn't given enough time to continue his work.
All right, Jack, thanks so much, and have a good weekend.
I'm going to put the snow shovel away, finally.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.